Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again on Sunday evening.
Absolutely. And here we are talking about Pentecost since Pentecost. Yeah. And it's already been like 4 weeks.
What else is there to talk about?
Yeah, that's right. Woo. You know, hey. We need a new Pentecost.
Woo. Amen, brother.
And those of you that have been baptized in the Spirit, and I hope there's a lot of you out there. I mean, if there's not, you know, send us an email and maybe we can arrange that.
Have a little seminar at your house.
Yeah, that's right. If you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've kind of had your own Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And
very much so.
I'm sure that while that happened, you had some experience, some outpouring, something that happened during and afterwards that you felt different than you had before you got there that day. And
very
you could
so.
All tell stories and we could all tell testimonies. And I just was, one brief one I always think about is a woman I still see at my office who came to a Life in the Spirit seminar once that we were doing, and she sat there with her arms crossed, and she was probably, I don't know, in her mid-20s at the time. And she said, I only came because I promised my mother I was going to come. And she listened to the talks, and she sat there and never uncrossed her arms. And then she came to she was in my small group, and she wasn't really participating. And then she came back the next day and said, I'm only here because my mother wants me to come, but I need to leave early because I got to go to work. I said, okay. So she listened to this thing, and then all of a sudden somebody said something, and her eyes lit up and said, since I have to leave early to go to work, do you think you guys could pray over me now instead of later?
Oh, wow.
So another guy who was there at the small group and myself took her aside, prayed over her. She was slain in the Spirit, laid on the floor for 5 or 10 minutes, and got up saying, wow, I never felt like this in my whole life. And now every time she comes to the office, she says, thank you for getting me baptized in the Spirit. I used to think about that every day. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, it is a life-changing, it can be a life-changing or a life-transforming event.
Yeah, yeah. And we sort of did, I don't know, I think last show about Peter and his speech, and we covered...
we finally got to Peter last...
We did.
After 3 weeks.
Yeah, and we got through, I think, about half of his speech.
Yeah, not the whole thing, just half.
No, you know, and you can go back and listen to last week's show on the website, giftofgraceministries.org, if you want to listen to it again. But we're going to pick up, because we don't want to keep doing Pentecost shows until Labor Day. Well, actually, you can't never get enough Pentecost.
Yeah, might as well. Just carry through the summer and fall and just keep on going.
There's a lot of good stuff in the book of Acts we could talk about.
There is.
If we ever get out of chapter 2, which is not likely. Anyway.
Not anytime soon.
No.
All right.
Chapter 2 should have its own scroll, by the way.
It should.
The sort of second part of Peter's thing is about David. Now, you all know, and you should know if you listen to our show or know anything about us, you should know that one of the most important messianic titles is Son of David.
That's true.
So, you know, if you ask most Jewish people who's the Messiah going to be, they say Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
And many people in Jesus' time referred to him as Son of David. And they were... calling him Messiah when they called him Son of David. They
Bartimaeus.
Were acknowledging that he was the Messiah. Yes.
Bartimaeus was proclaiming that quite loud.
Yes, very loud.
Matter of fact, his disciples said, hey, would you pipe it down over there, buddy?
Yeah. We're really busy right now, and Jesus got a really busy
tight schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Son of David, and then, you know, Palm Sunday, it was Hosanna to the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, got the religious leaders mad, and we've already been through that. You can go back and listen to that on the website, too.
Just a bit of a huff, yeah.
Yeah, so it goes back to the book of 2 Samuel. I like Samuel. And, you know.
Major prophet, minor prophet.
Well, I'm not sure what you would consider Samuel. Hmm. I think you'd have to consider him major because he's got two books. But most of it is the history of David and Saul and Absalom and all them. But in 2 Samuel, God speaking through the prophet Nathan, who's in the book of Samuel, mm-hmm. tells David that God's going to build you a house, and from your loins is going to come the one that's going to lead Israel, and he's going to sit on your throne, and your throne's never going to end.
Right.
And so therefore, he's clearly talking about Messiah, and so the messianic title Son of David comes mm-hmm. from that. And so I think it's kind of cool that Peter's going to talk about David.
He's on a roll.
Oh, he, oh.
Quotes Joel.
Woo.
Now he's in the book of David.
Yeah. he's on fire.
He's on fire.
Yeah, so maybe, let's see, where should you start?
How about verse 22?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's pick it up from there. So this is the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2, for beginning at verse 22. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh too will dwell in hope. Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet, and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, and poured it forth as you see here. For David did not go up into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day.
Woo.
Wow.
3,000 people come to faith in Jesus and are baptized.
Yeah.
In like the first hour after Pentecost.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It is.
That's really good church growth.
It is. Yeah, that's really good church growth.
Woo. Yeah, so that's a lot of stuff.
Go from 120 to 3,120.
That's right. That's in no time.
Wow. Got to get some extra chairs for the next service.
That's right. How many home groups can we make out of that? Actually, a lot of home groups.
Start the next building project.
Yeah. We're going to need a bigger church.
Much bigger church.
Yeah, so this is very interesting because
Peter really lays it out there.
Oh, yeah. And again, without, you know, he mentions this, you know, this promise to David that the prophet Nathan said that, you know, the Holy One's not going to show corruption. That's in Psalm 16. And, of course, David wrote most of the Psalms.
Yes.
David's such an interesting person.
Mm-hmm.
He writes all the Psalms. He's a man after God's own heart. Holy Spirit never departs from him, but he has people killed. He commits adultery. He has all kind of wives. He gets scared. He doesn't trust God. He runs away. The sword's never going to depart from his house. Has conflicts with King Saul and then his son Absalom. But yet, and he's David.
Yeah.
And he's the great king. And he's, you know, the Messiah, as we said, is the son of David. And David, you know, talks about how the Lord's always before him.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's always before him. Even though he does all this, like, unseedy, you know, all this kind of seedy stuff, you know, the Lord's always before him. Jesus, you know, a lot of times David is a prophet, and sometimes, and we don't have time to go through all the verses now, but maybe we'll do that someday. There's a lot of verses in 1 and 2 Samuel where David talks as if he's Jesus. It's that there's a double meaning going on. That he's actually a type of Messiah. You know, the Father's always before me. The Father's glory's always before me.
Right.
Jesus knew the Father was always with him. He rejoices because of it. And Jesus knew the glory that was set before him, that, you know, the resurrection would bring, the cross and then the resurrection would bring all this, and then he'd go back to the Father. And, you know, David, you can read through, especially 2 Samuel, when you have a chance. But Peter points out David wasn't always talking about himself. Mm-hmm. He was talking about Messiah doing these things.
Yeah.
David was, again, this is the Holy Spirit speaking, because David would have no way to say these things, would have no way to know the things that were coming. So this is the Holy Spirit speaking through David as a prophet. And Peter says, the reason we know he wasn't talking about himself is that he died and he was buried and we have his tomb over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David didn't rise from the dead. You know, here's his tomb right over here. And for those of you that have been to Jerusalem and been to the upper room and know that it's on Mount Zion, and within literally a stone's throw from the upper room is the tomb of David, which is a beautiful building with a big statue of David outside playing his harp.
Ooh.
All minor chords.
Of course.
But, you know, so when Peter said we, David the patriarch, you know, we have his tomb among us today, he could have like pointed to it. So in fact, it's right over there. Everybody knew where it was. David was dead and he was buried.
Yeah.
So therefore, he underwent corruption.
Yeah.
You know, says his Holy One's not going to undergo corruption. Well,
right.
David underwent corruption.
Yeah, because he died and his bones were buried.
Yeah.
And he said David did not go up to heaven, but he himself said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool."
Yeah.
You know, as Peter's going through this, you know, he addresses the community of Israel. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God. You know, therefore let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Mm-hmm. Very convicting.
Yeah, very convicting. He's talking directly to the house of Israel, those who were there.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, some of them might have been in the crowd shouting, "Crucify him."
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might have been in the crowd and, you know, they witnessed all this. They witnessed the mock trial, the lawlessness that took place. But, you know, what Peter does here is he makes no apologies for speaking the truth. And what happens is the Holy Spirit moves in such a way that when they heard this,
those who heard it were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? There's the invitation there to turn and repent and be reconciled with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may sound like Peter's really condemning them. If somebody reads this and they go, wow, Peter's really being mean, you know, he's really, yeah. that, you know, I don't, no, he's speaking the truth.
Yeah.
And the people there have the opportunity to repent and be reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the work of bringing people into the kingdom.
Yeah.
We're all sinners. We all qualify to be, you know, to be in a church because a church is where sinners go.
That's right.
Some people think
it's
a church
hospital for sinners.
Is exactly. Some people think the church is where holy people go, and it's where sinners go because they need salvation.
Yeah. If you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll spoil it.
Yeah. Exactly. It'll be defiled. Oh, no, we can't have that anymore.
No.
But you know what happens here is that moment of grace that they can come into the kingdom, be reconciled with God, and have peace with God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. Exactly.
This is the essence of what is supposed to take place when the Holy Spirit falls,
mm-hmm.
and the proclamation of the gospel is proclaimed. It may be in different forms and different manners, but
mm-hmm.
when something is from the Lord, there's always going to be that opportunity of repentance
yeah.
and reconciliation with God.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, you know, Jesus says, repent and be baptized. I'm sorry. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it says, those who accepted his message were baptized, but it doesn't say all.
Right. Good point.
You know, it doesn't say everyone there accepted his message and they were all baptized. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized. You know, we talked about scoffers.
Mm-hmm.
People doubt.
Yeah.
You know, is that really happening? Is that, what's all these people?
These guys are drunk.
These guys are drunk. What's going on? It's 9 o'clock in the morning, man. Get your act together. Not everybody is going to receive the gift, the
right.
great gift
That's
of
right.
eternal life. Just like in the Old Testament, that sign of the covenant was circumcision,
mm-hmm.
life with God. The laws were there to keep you in a right relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the new and eternal covenant, repent and be baptized. That's all you have to do.
That's right.
You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do, you know, all the laws. There's certainly things that are holiness, or, you know, God calls us to holiness.
Yeah.
That we're in a right relationship with him.
Yeah.
But repent and be baptized, and you come into the kingdom.
Yeah, and that's why Jesus called him the Spirit of Truth, because he's going to show you what the truth is.
Yeah.
Here comes Paul Wilbur again.
Oh.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Like him, lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun to the end of every day. Praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Who is like him? Lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. praise to the Lord. All you that have breath, give him praise, for he is Lord of all. All the stars in their courses.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So, one more thing about David, since I told you to read 2 Samuel for your homework, that's like a lot. If you go to the website, you'll see a whole series of notes on 1 and 2 Samuel that you might like, and you might not. There's no audio, it's just notes. But 2 Samuel in chapter 7, I just want to read what I was talking about, it's just a couple of verses. And when your days are fulfilled, you will sleep with your fathers. I will set up your seed after you, which shall will proceed from your loins, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. So that's the messianic promise. This is the reason why Messiah is called the Son of David, because of those verses. And Peter's got this in mind because he's basically telling these people that David was talking about Jesus, that Yeshua, who had just died and risen, was the one who was going to sit on the throne of David forever. Mm-hmm. And you guys were responsible for having him killed. He came to bring you guys life, but you rejected him. You had him killed. And now the situation is that unless you call on his name, you're not going to be saved.
Right.
And this, you know, as it says toward, at the end there, you know, they're cut to the heart. But, you know, it's even in, before I go, it just reminded me as I read that, even in Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel talks to Mary, mm-hmm. And, you know, says that you're going to name the boy Yeshua, and he's going to have the throne of his father David. Right. So even Gabriel knew what was in 2 Samuel chapter 7.
That he did.
He did.
That he did.
And so.
And you know what? If you disagreed with him.
Oh.
Silence.
I better be quiet now. But anyway. So again, the Old Testament, New Testament connections, which is what I really love to do. I mean, there's another one. I mean, the angel Gabriel is talking to the Virgin Mary about something that happened in 2 Samuel mm-hmm. chapter 7.
Right.
And this is why you're going to name him Yeshua, and he's going to sit on the throne of his father David.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
It is pretty neat. And unlike Peter, you know, they can repent, be converted, and they're in the kingdom of God. So unlike Gabriel,
yeah.
They still can talk.
Yeah,
can,
yeah. That's right. That's right. Mary could still talk afterwards. Yeah.
Zachariah, though, man,
he
was in big trouble.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's really amazing, as you're pointing out, how all this is tied together in this one brief commentary, if you will. This brief exhortation by Peter. How concise it is, how powerful it is, and you know, the fullness of what's in this exhortation to them.
Yeah. And then Peter even quotes from Psalm 110. I mean, did Peter know what Psalm 16 meant was? Did he know what Psalm 110 was? Did he know what Joel chapter 2 or chapter 3 was? No, this just, Peter couldn't possibly know all these scriptures. I don't think that he had the whole Tanakh memorized. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he quotes even from Psalm 110, which starts out with, "The Lord," all capital letters, "said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool."
Yeah.
I mean, this is... You know, clearly David's talking about the relationship of the son and the father. The son's going to sit at the father's right hand. His enemies are going to be made his footstools. Yeah. And so David can't be talking about himself.
Right.
And because, you know, in another place, Jesus himself says, well, if the Messiah is really David's son, why does David call him Lord?
Right.
You don't generally call your son Lord.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, when Jesus is addressing the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it says that he testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them. So not even everything that he said is recorded here.
That's right.
Just a portion of it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's even more that was spoken that wasn't recorded. Mm-hmm. But the essence of what's here and these, you know, the people that are there in Jerusalem were there because of the Feast of Pentecost. They would have gone to synagogue. They would understand and know the book, you know, the writings from David or the book of Joel. They would have heard those in the synagogues.
Yes.
On the Shabbat.
Yes. They would have heard them several times during their lifetime. They would have studied them in school.
Mm-hmm. Right. So they would know, you know, full well or with their whole heart what Peter was saying.
That's right.
And how many, you know, if you think about it, when Jesus spoke to the people, you know, there were times where they wanted to throw him headlong down a cliff because he spoke the truth to them.
Yes.
They were enraged with fury.
Because, in his hometown.
In his hometown, yeah. So Peter exhorts them with this truth. And again, you know, the Holy Spirit reminds us of all truth that Jesus taught.
Mm-hmm.
And the great grace that's there, I'll say this again, the great grace that is there is that they have the ability to repent and turn back to God.
Amen.
And that's
yes.
the good news of the gospel.
That's the good news.
You know, are there any animals sacrificed for what they did? Do they go, let's go offer some sheep in the temple? You know, let's offer, you know, the blood of bulls and goats for your sins.
Yeah.
No.
No.
None of that.
Yeah.
We need to get, you know, we need to make an appointment with one of the high priests so we can get this taken care of.
Yeah.
There's none of that.
No.
Repent and your sins are going to be forgiven.
That's right.
And you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So the same Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles and the disciples in the upper room that morning is now going to fall on these 3,000 who have come to faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah.
Yeah. And that's an excellent point. And I was just thinking as you were saying that in John chapter 3, you know, we always hear about Jesus saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again. But he says you have to be born of water and the Spirit.
Water and the Spirit, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which, you know, he's a very clear explanation of what Peter's saying, repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
Because this is how you're going to be, this is how you're going to come into the kingdom.
Right.
This is going to be your rebirth. This is going to be the symbol of your rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the sign of your new covenant. This is going to be how you're going to be saved. This is going to be how you can call on the name of the Lord and be saved.
Yeah.
It's all about this. And one more thing about David. I think David's kind of an interesting guy. In verse 30 of Acts 2, he says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that from the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He's seeing this before he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ. So in other words, he's speaking about Jesus long before anyone can possibly know this. And Jesus was raised up from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We're witnesses of this. And so, therefore, it follows the prophecy that David got, that Messiah would be raised up to sit at the right hand of the Lord. Lord, all capital letters, which means Yahweh, which means, in this case, sit at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
When in English, of course, God's name is Yahweh. We're not allowed to say that word in the Old Testament because we're not worthy to pronounce God's name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an unpronounceable name. So when you translate that into English, it's written as Lord, all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
You'll learn that when you take my Torah class. But here, you know, there's this kind of interplay of the words Lord, where Peter says, you see, David's talking about Jesus, who God raised from the dead, and now he's sitting at the right hand of Lord, all capital letters,
yeah,
who's his father, and you guys didn't get this.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you, you better get this or else you're going to be lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody should know now that he's Lord and Messiah.
Yeah.
He's Lord and Messiah because of these things. And you have to submit to him. You have to call on his name. And when he gets through all this, it says they're cut to the heart, which you get the idea. These guys aren't just standing there saying, oh, yeah, Peter, that's a good point. This is kind of a good Bible study. And, you know, I'll get back to you on that.
Let's,
you know,
think about this.
Cut to the heart.
Yeah.
When, and, you know, you can just picture these people just going, oh, what do we
done?
Do now? I can't, I was the one yelling, crucify him.
Yeah.
Now I realize he's the Messiah.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking, when it says that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. I mean, think about what Jesus did, mm-hmm, in the garden. Father, let this cup pass,
yeah,
me by.
Yes.
What's the cup of?
Yeah.
The wrath of
wrath.
God for all the sins,
yeah,
of the world. Everybody's sin.
Yeah.
So Jesus takes upon him the sin of the, you know, this every sin, and becomes sin for our sake.
Mm-hmm.
But yet God does not abandon him to the netherworld, because nothing that is sinful or corrupt can stand in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
But by the blood atonement, the sacrifice that Jesus makes, God receives his own son without blemish or corruption. Mm-hmm. It's totally, it's just absolutely amazing.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. So when Peter says all Israel should know this, you know, again, he's not only doing the teaching from David's prophecy, but he's fulfilling what Jesus said, you preach to the Jew first and then the Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to always do this. You know, as you go forward in the book of Acts, when we get to Paul, when Saul becomes Paul, he goes to many places where he goes to the synagogue first.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks with them. And if they say, get out of here, then he goes and talks to the Gentiles. Because,
mm-hmm,
in a couple of places he says, well, I have to do that because that's what we've been commanded to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go to the synagogue first. If they reject it, then I'll go talk to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter says all Israel should know this. And these guys get it. I mean, 3,000 of them get it.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about at the, break, we don't know how many people were there total.
Right.
Maybe there were 6,000 and half of them got it.
Right. Right. We don't know.
Or maybe there was 3,001 and one guy just left. I don't know. But, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul later is going to write probably, you know, 20, 25 years later is going to write, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So
right.
Here's the Holy Spirit. Peter's doing the preaching. These guys are convicted by the Spirit that what Peter's saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
And this Jesus really was the Messiah.
Yeah.
They had helped put him to death. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
So they're cut to the heart. They don't know what to do. And you can kind of hear this anguish of, brothers, what do we do?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when a moment like that happens, and I think anybody that's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or, you know, not even if you haven't, if there's ever a moment in your life where, you know, God just gives you that moment of grace,
yeah,
to turn and repent, it's a very sobering,
yes,
very sobering moment where you recognize that you can turn and be reconciled with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've all experienced that. It's a very powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many people that say, I can never be redeemed. You don't know what I've done.
Right.
I can never be forgiven because a couple of people come to mind. I can never be forgiven. You don't know what I've done.
Yeah. But yet these 3,000 that day came back to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they,
they all experienced this.
That's right. And Peter really laid it on him. You know, God made this Jesus who you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
Yeah.
Who you crucified.
Yeah. Oof.
So that's what really cuts them to the heart. What do we do? So they're penetrated by Peter's word, mm-hmm. which of course is coming from the Holy Spirit. They're like powerfully and suddenly affected by this.
Yeah.
I mean, their hearts are suddenly, softened and convicted because they knew what, this was, 50 days after the crucifixion and resurrection, basically, because this is...
Yeah, it was fresh in their minds.
50 days after the first Shabbat, after Passover. So, let's say 50 days ago was the crucifixion. This wasn't like ancient history.
Right.
It was 50 days ago. So these people knew what had happened, knew what the leaders had done, knew what the leaders had said about these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them probably had even seen him be crucified.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know, but probably. And they were they were more than convicted. I mean, when you're cut to the heart, you just realize, oh, what did we do? I can't believe this. Why didn't we understand this? Why did the leaders not understand this? I mean, they were so impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And, going back again to the prophet Joel, who's actually one of my favorite minor prophets, there's a verse there in chapter 2:13. I think it's chapter 2:13. It says, rend your hearts and not your garments.
Yeah.
Your heart is broken. Your heart is convicted.
Well, there's a lot to that statement because they would rend their garment as a sign of when somebody rends their garment, it's like tearing their garment.
Yes.
But your heart is what God's interested in.
That's right. He doesn't care if you tear your shirt.
Not the outside showing of
that's
rending
right.
of the garment.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wants your heart rent. And, like we always say, you have to come broken to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come to the cross with your nice clothes on and go, here I am. So aren't you glad I'm here?
Yeah.
You should be happy I'm here because after all, I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah. I could be doing something else right now.
Yeah. And, I could have gone somewhere else and I came here today. So that's nice. No, you got to go broken.
Yeah.
Because he wants. Well, Psalm 51, it's a broken and contrite heart.
Contrite heart, Lord, we will not spurn, yeah.
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 So they have this now, these 3,000, mm-hmm. and they say, brothers, what should we do?
Yeah.
Now, they don't go to run into the chief priest and say, what should we do? We heard these guys. They say to Peter and these other guys, brothers, what should we do?
There is the other interesting part of what's taking place is that this is in the new covenant now.
Right. It's like a close human connection they have to these guys now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a break already.
Yep.
Remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory.
presence gone revealed, the glory of the living God. That weight of your glory cover us, that the life of your river flow, let the truth of your kingdom reign in us, let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. We do not seek your hand, we only seek your face. We want to know you, we want to see you reveal your glory in this place.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Very awesome.
Who sings that?
That's Paul Wilbur. Go to wilburministries.com. Buy a couple of CDs. See how you like them.
Give them as gifts.
Yeah. No, keep them. Well, then you'll go back and buy more.
Well, give them as gifts, and then you have to buy more.
Yeah. And tell them Phil sent you.
When are you coming out with the CD?
Well, I'm working on one. Yeah, I may just do vocals. I don't know. I don't have time to learn how to play the instruments. I'm too old. I'll be dead before the time I learn anything. Anyway, so where were we? Oh, yeah, broken and contrite hearts. What else were we talking about?
Repentance.
Yeah, repentance. So this was a crisis point. I mean, if they killed the Messiah, what do they do now?
Well, really, wouldn't they have to go to the temple and offer sacrifice for their sins?
They would have to.
They would have to get to the high priest. Hmm? And that's what Peter tells them to do, right?
You would have to do blood sacrifice.
Blood sacrifice.
Peter doesn't mention it.
You're right.
Doesn't mention it. Now, Peter has been a faithful Jewish man all his life, however old he was by this time. And he never says to them, well, there must be something in the law of Moses that covers this. He says, repent and be baptized. Yeah. And as you said at the end of the break or just before the break, it's the new covenant now.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody talks about, we better go talk to the Levites.
Right.
We better go see Caiaphas and see what he recommends.
Yeah.
Or one of those other guys. It's repent and be baptized.
Can you imagine that if they would have went to Caiaphas and said, "Hey, what do? We realize we crucified the Messiah, that Jesus that you hung upon the cross."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been.
And I think we didn't advertise one in Messiah, but Friday night, 6:15.
We are now.
At New Life Fellowship, 5994 Ridge Road in Parma. You can come and hear Steve play awesome music. You can hear teachings about Old Testament, New Testament connections, of which this is one that we're just doing. And
big part of it.
Yeah, big part of it. In the Old Covenant, you couldn't just repent and be baptized.
Right.
You had to do sacrifice.
Yeah.
Now we're in the New Covenant. Now we're in a covenant of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody goes to the temple. Nobody goes to talk to the high priest. Nobody goes to talk to a Levite, even.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says, I better go get a lamb and get up there as fast as I can.
Yeah.
No. He says, repent and be baptized.
Yeah.
And he's not talking about, you know, you were involved in crucifying the Messiah, but it's more than just that. You have to repent of everything that you've mm-hmm. done. You have to realize all of your life is sinful.
Yeah.
And this, you know, they had the concept of the Father God. You know, that's kind of, you know, a pretty common concept they would have had. Now they had seen the Holy Spirit be poured out
yeah.
and had experienced it. And now Peter talks about how Jesus was the Messiah and how they can be saved only through him.
Yeah.
So this is an amazingly powerful speech that really hits these guys and is repent and be baptized, every one of you.
In the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yes. And you'll be justified. You know, there's nothing in the law of Moses that's going to fix this problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can't stand here and say, well, let's do some, you know, Mosaic law thing and you'll be okay.
Yeah. You know, cause he says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
for the promises made to you,
mm-hmm.
to your children,
mm-hmm.
and for all those far off.
Yes.
Is he referring to the Gentiles?
Then? Far off.
Those who did not know me will know me. Those who did not seek me will find me.
Exactly. Yeah. To those who did not know me, I say, here I am, here I am.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah.
Amazing.
We need to do a show about that again.
We did
a long time ago. But anyway, it's the promises to those that are far off, not just the people in the city, not just the people 10 miles away, the people in Rome, the people in Greece, the people in China, the people in Ohio, the people in South America, wherever it is, the promises for people that are, quote, far off.
Yeah.
And their promises. And, you know, again, an interesting lesson that I think we can apply to today is save yourself from this perverse generation. And boy, are we living in a perverse generation. We don't even know what bathroom you should go into anymore.
I was just gonna say.
When you live in a perverse generation like this, you don't say, well, they have a good point.
Yeah.
You get away from the perverse generation.
Yeah. Something that is blatantly obvious now becomes a matter of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And they accepted this, and it says they gladly received his word and were baptized.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. They went from, oh, brothers, what are we to do, to gladly receiving it
mm-hmm.
and getting baptized.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just an amazing day in the early life of the church.
Yeah, it's like, that was like day one of the church.
Woo. Wow, what's going to happen tomorrow, Peter? I don't know.
I don't know yet, but if we got 3,000 people saved every day, where are we going to put them all?
Yeah, really.
But this was, and keep in mind that this whole thing we've just talked about for two shows is done by Peter, who's a poor fisherman, a hardworking guy, not the smartest guy in the world,
mm-hmm.
not that well-versed in the scripture. It wasn't done by some theologian, some Levitical priest. It wasn't like the high priest who's descended from Aaron. It's Peter saying these things.
Yeah.
And this is where the power of the Spirit comes in.
Yeah.
And this is why we're all used in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. God can take any one of us and use us because it's not by our own power and might that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's by the power of God.
Ooh.
It's by the, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Wow.
So. Hey, it's the end of another show.
Hey, the ending came like just at the perfect time.
It did.
Woo. Well, I hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would be open to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, as we just talked about, and for the forgiveness of your sins, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.